I'm going to call the Clean Water Commission meeting for, yeah, July 2nd. That's what it has been all day to order. All right. So we'll start with roll call on it. Jim Carlson, Clean Water Commission.
Gary Schaefer, Clean Water Commission.
Susan Rasmussen, Clean Water Commission, the center.
Van Raymond.
Dick Rylander.
Rob McKinney.
Bobby Trusty, DES.
For Ralph Clark County, guest.
Jennifer Howell, the Vancouver School District.
Perfect. All right. Now, let's review the packet information what we got here.
What we have is item one was the agenda for tonight's discussion. Item two, meeting notes from the 7th. Next item will be Jennifer Halleck from the Vancouver School District will be talking about a video. Put that video up. Maybe not actually, it's running, but we don't have sound yet for it. So she might
have a patch for that.
You get the patch, all right. That's good to have. Hi, Art. So that's there. And the next item in your packet will be the annual report. This is the 2013 annual report. Next item in your packet will be an overview of the bylaws. So there's an attachment, a little staff report I put together for that. Next item is also looking at public and private partnerships for regional stormwater facilities, multi-use projects. So we'll be looking at that tonight as well. Those are all the items in tonight's packet, and we're set to go. Let's look at the notes.
All right, so unfortunately, I missed the last meeting. So the meeting summary, I don't know if it's correct or not. So if everybody who was here could review those notes on the meeting summary. And make a motion possibly to approve those.
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
All right. Motion's been made to approve.
Second.
Okay. Perfect. Moved and seconded. No objections to approving those minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. All right. Now, on to public comments. Hey, catching up on time. So
we
started at 6:39, and we're ready for public comments right at 6:40. Nice. All right. Any public comments from the public?
So I'm going to hold my public comment until presentation.
Okay. Perfect.
Art, do you have any public comment?
Not right now. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll move on to the presentation discussion.
Jennifer's going to come up here and
do the patch. She's going to make the patch work, right?
So, yeah. So, thank you very much for letting me come and share with you a little bit about what Vancouver Public Schools has been up to environmentally, and specifically as it relates to some of the previous discussions we've had earlier this year with water quality. I think I heard early on in our discussions some thoughts around not hearing back from schools and updates about some things that we were doing or not doing, and so I thought July would be a good time to recap our year so far and hopefully provide you with just a quick 2.5 minute preview of some of the videos that we took during Earth Day. A lot of our schools utilized water quality this year as we had asked them to, so I'll reframe. All of our schools have green teams. 100% of our schools are working on environmental stewardship in one way or another outside of their curriculum and or tied with their curriculum, so in both ways. So, of course, last year about February, I went to the schools and I talked to the county schools specifically about love for you to focus on water. Obviously, we talked about the waiver and meeting some of the requirements by July 31 this year in order to continue to have the waiver, etc. So they started their discussions with kids before school was out. September came, they got started with school, they got started with their green teams, They did amazing work this year. We have 15 schools that are in the county. Today, 10 of our 15 schools have been certified in water in the Washington Green Schools category. One pending. I'm not quite sure where they're at yet. I think they finished. I had several phone discussions and interactive sessions with the students there that were completing the work. So I think there was some just follow-up paperwork that hadn't gotten done yet. So, and some of our schools just couldn't fulfill the requirements this year for the water quality section. And that was okay, too, because it was a very rigorous process to go through. So tonight I'm going to share with you the video that we have snapshot on, and it also discusses the special award that Vancouver Public Schools has received from the Department of Education. It is a combination award, Department of Education, Department of Ecology, which that would be very informational for you here, and it's related to the Green Ribbon Schools National Award. Do you think they have that? Probably not.
I tried. It didn't work.
If we don't have sound, I can narrate what you're saying. Or we're going to do some old school mismatchy and try to see if we can hear it. That's true.
Welcome to the Notepad. The U.S. Secretary of Education, Mark Duncan, makes a major announcement from Washington, D.C. Vancouver Public School is one of just 9 districts from across the nation to be honored for its commitment to the environment. What they have in common is a clear compelling vision, outstanding teamwork, and historic affirmation. Regardless of location, disruption, or student population, they demonstrate real commitment to serving students with the most exceptional, healthy, and sustainable learning environments and disruption you can find anywhere. Secretary Duncan made VPS and Green Ribbon Schools District Sustainability Awardee. In a nutshell, the district is among the nation's best in conserving energy and money, improving health and wellness in its buildings, and teaching students how to improve the environment.
There's a lot of exciting things going on in our schools, and that really is what this district award is
about.
It's about everyone's collective efforts. It's sustainable within our own organization. Every department is reviewing how do they impact the environment, how do they make those positive changes.
The district has programs in place at every school, ranging from simple recycling and composting to career training in environmental fields. Since 2005, the district has reduced its energy use by more than 15%, which translates to around $2.5 million in savings. Several schools in Vancouver have mobile lab teachers and students into green teams. And on Earth Day, we talked to a couple of those teams that they work to improve water quality in their schools. I'm not assuming, but grass is more important than you might think.
So what you're looking at is the students at Sacagawea. They are doing an exercise of planting grass in the bioswale. So they had, on Earth Day, they released salmon into the salmon creek that they had raised for the year. They counted them, released them, and participated in that program. And then each student planted a little tuft of grass that was donated from a local nursery that they partnered with, and they talked about the importance of grass and filtration in the bioswale. This is a Earth Day celebration at Chinook Elementary, where they also got their water quality certification this year for discussing and planting grasses around some areas that sheet off directly into the stream behind the school. And then what we're missing is the sort of the commentary from students on what they learned about the process and why they enjoy doing the hands-on work for the green team information. This here is our SOS program where we sort. This is Sacagawea again talking about some of the lessons they're learning for the day.
What's the grade level, Jennifer?
This is K through 5 that we've been looking at here. And they're adorable. The kids are great. They can really articulate, and so it's really talking about what they've been learning in the classroom. I can share with you that just very briefly, we had three schools that did what was called leak patrol for their water quality. They went around the school and identified every faucet, toilet, piece of something that might leak, and they wrote up reports and decided how they'd solve that. They put in work orders. They worked with their teams to, why do we want to conserve water? Where does the water go, etc. So they did those. Skyview had a very exciting project that we were able to fold in from multiple disciplines. We redesigned a space instead of paving it, which we had determined we would do before with the softball field. With the girls' softball, we put pervious pavers in and a demonstration site, as well as a space where the softball girls grade 9 through 11, so not the seniors who are going to go away, but we chose the earlier JV team that can, they designed a native planting, so we had some lessons on what is native planting and why do you want it, and why is that important in this portion of the field. That portion of the field feeds the bioswale before it goes down into the creek behind Skyview. So we went through those lessons, we finished the paving project, and then of course they did the design, and we'll plant the plants, native plants in there toward the end of the summer, this summer. So that's what Skyview is up to. And we have just had tremendous success at this last, and then what Arnie is talking to you about is this January we applied and submitted our district as a green ribbon district to the state of Washington. State of Washington evaluated us against every other district across the state. They said, you're exemplar and you're the number one district across the state sustainability. They put our application forward at the national level. And this is a quick video from Arnie Duncan announcing that we won one of nine districts across the nation, only one of nine, to receive recognition as a green ribbon district. So key to that application, I can tell you because I wrote the application, I talked about our partnership with the Water Quality Commission and with the county here related to bioswales. And partnerships was a really important component to receiving that award. So we'll go back and receive our award in 2 weeks back in Washington, D.C. And it's probably the highest award our district can receive from the Department of Education, Department of Energy, and the Department of Ecology as a combined unit to give the award. So just wanted to share back with you some of the good work that we've done just over the last year.
And Jennifer's going to email me the video, and then I'm going to put it on the Clean Water link, so where the notes are kept and the rest of the documents are stored for you guys to be able to review online. That's what we're hoping. Because I'm thinking that the way it's saved as a thumb drive is what the volume's not coming through. Or it's some...
I listened to it on there before I left, but you never know.
Different computer. Yeah. So I'm hoping that if you email it to me, I'll be able to get it put on there for you.
And if, I can also send you the link for the episode of In the Know on YouTube if that works easier.
Okay, that was good.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Very impressive. So, on to the water fee. Oh, that's the last one. Sorry. On to your annual report. Yeah, let's get on that. And where is the annual report?
Should be your packet.
I looked at my packet. I don't see my. Am I missing something?
I emailed it to them earlier.
So you don't have it in your packet?
I guess I didn't put it in their packet.
That's not good.
Well, I read it. I wasn't here, so I can't attest to the accuracy, but I read it.
Your copy tomorrow.
So, I can tell you, Susan,
yes.
Have you read it?
No.
So, we need to present to the board on the
30th
of this month.
Can you change and do the bylaws right now?
Sure.
And when I will go get copies.
All right, that'd be great. Let's move on to the bylaws.
This is even more fun.
All righty.
So what I did, I put together a staff report June 16th and started going through the bylaws. And you have a copy of this in your packet, I hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so in there, I'll just run through this staff report. Basically, what I'm looking at is line 54, which added a new section. Basically, what that new section is called, nomination and election of officers.
Excuse me, Earl.
Sorry.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Before you start, normally when I see a document has been changed, it you know, for proposal, it's got what was added and what was deleted.
Right. This does that.
And well, I didn't see what was deleted.
There's nothing deleted.
There's nothing.
Nothing deleted.
Okay. All right. So this is. So there, these sections that you're adding were never in the bylaws before?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. So in this particular instance, what I tried to do is lay out what are the new items to the bylaws. So line 54 is nomination and election of officer. I'm just going to go through this, and then we'll go through the bylaws. So there's that. Next one is line 63.
Well, hold it. Let's just discuss that.
Well, I'm going to go. Let me go through the staff report first, and then we're going to go through the bylaws.
All right.
That's the intent here. So, what we'll do, I'll go through these issues, and then we'll go and walk through each line of the bylaws, and you can see firsthand what we're talking about. Line 63 is basically adding a new section. Numbering, excuse me, will change as well before because adding the new sections. We added for line 73, line 73. Common Courtesy Clause, line 4, 141. They added into this set of bylaws, we're recording all these meetings. All of these discussions are being recorded, and they're available at the Clean Water Commission website at the county. And then the last one is identification of members. So let's go through the bylaws as we speak. Let's look at page 1. There were no modifications or changes to page 1 of the bylaws. Page 2. There's a new section. It's basically the nominations and election of officers. And here's an opportunity. I'll just kind of read through this stuff, and then you have an opportunity to decide how you want to modify it. But I'll go through this stuff, and you guys can add comments along the way. So basically, under the new section number 5, there's nomination. So nomination is a formal process by voting, by the voting body. And in the election, what we have is the officers will be elected. Usual practice is to have nominations, narrow down the voting, qualified willing candidates. Clean Water Commissioners in the past have an opportunity to ask from the floor who they want to become elected. Also, item B is the elections. And what we usually have done this in the past is we ask for a ballot. That way it keeps everybody honest. Nobody's put in pressure. And we have an opportunity to keep the information secret. Unless for some reason somebody is adamantly opposed, then we have to make that available to this group. Questions about that section?
It seems like a lot of our elections have been held by show of hands. Mm-hmm. Why is this being?
Well, the reason being is,
and I don't understand, unless the board, somebody in the board specifically requests a ballot, why we should be limited to a ballot?
Sure.
unless because it kind of takes more time.
It does. Well, it takes more time, but it also then provides you some level of immunity. Because what happened 2 years ago, some of you may recall, almost 3 years ago, we had a fellow on this commission, a rather boisterous person, and he decided it's not art. You probably read about him in the paper lately. But anyways, very boisterous person. And so what happened was we went around the table, and everybody was raising their hands and that kind of stuff. Well, what we discovered is by doing that, put yourself out there. You are actually saying to the public, whoever's around this table, I vote for this person. And what happened during that particular time frame, Mark can attest to this, like Susan in Virginia. I don't know if you were, that's before you came.
Yeah, before me.
So anyways, the bottom line was, we went through all of that processing of counting votes, counting hands and stuff, and at the end, people said, I'm not going to vote for that guy. I'm not going to vote for that guy at all. So we said, okay. So then we went back to Robert's Rules of Order, and Robert's Rules of Order is very clear. You can make a show of hands if you have a good group of people, but sometimes you're not going to have a good group of people, really, because sometimes you're going to just have somebody who's just not willing to work for the rest. And so what happens then, it gives an opportunity for people to vote for somebody, identify them, and we as staff people will say to the group, for example, elections of the chair. How many people have voted for it? And what we do, we literally write out all the names of people who are actively wanting to be the chair. And then when we come back and we say, those are the ones who want to be the chair. And then we go back and we say, okay, we have these names that want to be the chair. Then we come back and we say to the group, these are the names, and we put on a sheet of paper, and we ask people to say, excuse me, I'm coming down, still fighting a cold. We ask the people to look at who are the people that they, who's listed as the chair. And then you check who you want, and you sign that piece of paper. Then we go back and we say the same thing for the vice chair. Because about 2 or 3 years ago, there were several people who wanted to be the chair. There were several people who wanted to be the vice chair. So it was a way of minimizing the discussion, not putting people on out there to say, I like this person, I don't like this one. We get away from all that by having a ballot vote. That's what I'm saying. Now, if you want to change it back around, I don't care. It's your group.
I guess my comment would be that it should be up to the chair, really, to just to decide, and if somebody objects and they say they want a secret ballot, then they should have it that way. But I think you're taking it out of the hands of the chair unnecessarily.
No, what it does, I'll beg to differ as far as the discussion goes. Actually, what it does, it puts all of the stuff in the hands of the chair. And in fact, if you read through these bylaws, you can modify your bylaws today, and in the next meeting, you have a new set of bylaws. So you can modify these bylaws all day long if you want. That's what I'm saying. What we strive to do, we try to get away from this issue of people backbiting. That was a lot of argument attested to that because he became the chair that year. So it was a very interesting process, and I'm trying to avoid that kind of situation. Today we might be just fine. 2 years from now we may not be. I'm just saying that was the case back then. That's the reason we put it in. So, I don't know if Virginia or...
This poor man was frightfully misguided.
Well,
in the end, I felt possibly what he needed was a change in his heart condition.
He was intimidating. He was flat out intimidating, and I wish we had this in place that day.
So, of course, I wasn't there when that election was going, so I worked with him for a little bit, but the last two elections were... First, we had to have somebody who actually wanted to do it,
right,
which was like one person, and wasn't any problem. So, I mean, to me, it doesn't make any difference. I need to put it in. But
well, I'm not advocating one way or the other. All I'm saying is we went through all that process. We went through a great deal of effort. We don't want to repeat that, at least from a staff person. I don't want to be put on the spot and saying, you didn't run the elections for the chair and the vice chair for this meeting as a liaison person to this group. You didn't run it right. So that's the only reason.
What this does is not only does it formalize the process, but it takes out the potential discomfort of somebody saying in public, I do or do not support,
yeah.
And it removes that entirely. It just,
yes.
It makes it confidential. They can vote how they want, and they don't have to feel uncomfortable or intimidated in a public setting. So personally, it makes sense to me.
I'll withdraw my comment.
Congress has withdrawn it.
So... You can approve these line item by line item, right?
What I'd like to do is to go through this, if you'll permission.
Okay, keep going.
So right. I don't know if people read this stuff or not. So anyways, there's that. The next one is on the same page. It's under Section C. Under Section 6, Item C, is the Common Courtesy Clause. And what we're trying to do here is just basically say, if you know that you're going to be leaving this Clean Water Commission, and, or if you just don't want to participate on it, or you're retiring from this group, let us know. Let the chair know. Let me know. Let somebody know that when you're thinking about leaving, we know that you're leaving. That's all this is intended to do. Questions on that section?
Pretty basic. No, just a clarification. So there is no. I see the comment that you should, if attendance should fall below 75%. Is there a threshold below which a person is replaced if they are not participating?
Yes.
You don't show up and you're not asked to come back, you might have hit that.
Whoa. So is this saying that
yes.
If you don't show up at least 3 out of 4 times,
exactly.
75% of the time,
yeah.
You either can or will be replaced?
Could.
Okay.
Well, it would be up to the Board of Commissioners to replace them, right?
Well, no, it would be up to us to remove them.
Be a recommendation from the chair to this group to the board
remove.
To remove that
and then there would be another appointment by the board. Because if you don't show up, we only meet.
I'm just trying to understand
right.
If that's
sure.
What this is.
Yeah. We've had really we've had some people been really inactive at times, and it's like, you know, everybody's going to, like, I missed a meeting. Normally I'm Johnny on the spot, but I had a mechanical problem with my dump truck actually. But it's like, so, you know, when we're struggling, we just barely made a quorum today.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it comes, a lot of it comes from.
Yeah, there's no issue with it. I'm just trying to make sure I understood what the intent was and what the
outcome. Especially since we're going to meet like every other month, it becomes really critical.
Sure, sure. I don't disagree.
Just
trying to understand what the parameters were, what the intent was.
Well, I guess you have a good point on that. 75%. Should we say the chair?
I have no issue with the 75%. I'm just
wondering where it came from.
I just wanted to understand what the intent was. So I understand.
Does the 75% include like the special meetings or only the regularly scheduled?
Just regular.
Just regular stuff. Okay. The special meetings that's an option.
Well, you probably get plus points for anything.
You get an attaboy.
There you go.
Maybe a piece of pizza. It's our regular meetings.
Okay. So anyways, going back to the common courtesy one, let's just see. So I read through it. So it's basically just show up or let people know that you're not going to show up. So now we go to page 4. Page 4, this is under section 8. New section 8. This is where the audio recording business is identified. So if you were to look at item F, at the very end of that, we'll talk about an audio recording of all meetings is available at this particular site. So any discussions like tonight's discussion will be available with us. Questions on that? And the last is part 5, page 5. What I tried to do here, I think I mentioned this once before, and that is try to identify the representation of who you are, who you represent. So I took a stab at this. Again, it's just my thoughts. I don't know necessarily who all you represent. I can take a guess at who you represent, and that's what I tried to do here. So if there are modifications, please let me know what those modifications should be. I would like to get those modifications. If you would like to do that, send it to me in the form of an email so I can put the exact information that you would like to be identified as in that email. So for example, Commissioner Rhinelander, I got you identified as citizen at large. I don't know if that's what you want to be. Commissioner Schaefer, I got you identified as a South County Commissioner.
Sure.
So on and so forth. So if you see something in there that is not what you really are doing or who you really represent, that's what I need to know.
Okay, on page 2, under section 6, Commission Member Expectations.
Hi.
Representation. Each member is expected to represent the general public opinion. Attitudes and needs to the commission.
I'm sorry, which page?
6A.
6A?
6A. Okay. On page 2.
Okay.
However, is that in conflict? I'm kind of in a peculiar position because a lot of my friends and neighbors up in the North County, the property owners, are in agriculture and forestry folks. And I have felt over the years, and they're quite vocal about things that this commission does. And when they don't like something, I hear about it, as in this past couple of months. So, in that regard, do I represent their interests or the general public at large?
I can't tell you. You have to tell yourself. What do you want to represent yourself at this table? Who do you want to be at this table? When you come to this table, who do you speak for? Do you speak for yourself?
Okay.
Do you speak for a community group? Do you speak for area of the county? Those are the things you might want to look at. So for what I did for you, I just put North Clark County Agriculture, North Clark County / Agriculture, because you and I had a conversation one day over the phone about what do you want to be described as?
Yeah.
And that's what I put down as what you described yourself.
That's who I feel like my allegiance is to. That's my friends and neighbors up north.
And that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
And yet, we're all at large with maybe a focus or a particular interest. But in reality, we all do represent Optimus, the residents of Clark County.
Right. Right now, I have some very vocal friends.
No, I do disagree. There's probably a subgroups that maybe certain people tend to hear more from or more involved. I understand.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, just in general, we are all citizens of Clark County, and as such, we do represent a collective, if you will.
So again, all I'm looking at here is just identifying who you are, what you represent. If you want to make a modification to this, feel free to do so. Just email me the modification that you'd like to have. So, I'm not married to any of this stuff.
Right. Well, are we going to then come back to this and review any modifications you made?
Or we can make the modifications today, if you like.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, somebody emails you and you change it, and all of a sudden we all have this copy, and then we have something else different on record. That's what I was saying here.
Well, again, if you want to make changes now, we can make those changes now, and you can then decide to approve it with modifications.
I guess what my question is, this still bothers me, this below 75% of regular scheduled meetings. We don't specify any consequences for that. I mean, it's just kind of like hanging out there, like it's, you know, kind of a so what. Should we say that, you know, the chair then has the power to call for a vote on whether that vote that member should be removed from a commission, or should we be listing consequences? Question for discussion.
I would expect that if the person or persons are not attending below some, whatever the threshold is, that would generate a contact by someone.
And how would
and
we
have discussions with them?
How would we know that they're below 75%? I mean, or how would we know what the
staff keeps track of attendance?
Sounds like records.
Well, we keep records of them. So, and then as you go around the table here, you'll hear who's here,
yeah.
Who's not.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, over cumulative time,
yeah.
You know.
But could it not be that, I mean, there could be, maybe there's a health issue or there's just been a couple of emergencies that in a certain period of time.
I don't think it's directed into, it's like, hey, I called, I'm not feeling good, I'm not going to make it, or I got to work, I'm not going to make it. It's more of the...
You're just AWOL.
You're AWOL, and when they're AWOL, it's really obvious to, it's like, wow, can you please show up? You know, you missed three meetings, you missed 6 months worth of meetings, and you're going to come in and you can't be an active participant in this, missing a whole lot of meetings on, you know, a meeting every 2 months, so.
If you don't know what's going on, you can't really make intelligent contributions.
You can't make it really, very few contributions. So
that's what I'm saying is I don't know who's doing 75% or who's doing 25% or whatever it is cumulative over the year. It just seems like it's hanging out there with, you know, kind of a so what.
Well, we could. If you want, you can combine it with E, which is the qualifications, and just come back and say, this particular instance, E talks about the expectations to provide a level of qualifications to actively participate, review materials, recommendations, so on and so forth. So if you want to put a qualification to it, combine
well,
it
actually,
E.
That's not a bad idea, because that would add to that the qualifications is that to be a, you know, to be a voting member of the board that you have attendance and that you read the packet materials and that you represent be prepared to participate and things like that. I think that's all put together if nobody shows up. But
I think it's already covered in J under disciplinary action. If you violate any of these rules, disciplinary action is a recommendation for removal. So
yeah, that's covered.
I would be opposed to putting that on every single
thing.
It is
in there.
You're right. You're right, Rob. Thank you.
So are we good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got one question.
Sure.
On it. So this last election that we have, where do we have our stuff in for where our elections are made? Aren't they? It's not
March.
What do you mean?
Because on the last set of elections,
which was in November.
November. So, and everybody's term expires in February.
Correct.
Okay. So the last time that stuff went around, the person who was nominated for vice chair didn't even get reappointed to the board.
Correct.
So
that's why I had to do a reappointment immediately.
Now, can we change the election time to coincide with who's going to be on the commission?
I mean,
there's another issue here.
What's that? That
length of service of each member is expected to serve the full term of 3 years. I know mine, I'm up for 1 year.
Right.
And then,
right. The way that was done, though, was, and I'll answer that question. We staff people do not make that decision. It's made by the Board of County Commissioners as to who is appointed when and what their term is. So if you go back to your letter of acceptance, you'll see on that letter of acceptance your term, and in your case, yours, and I think yours too, is a one-year term. So when
was filling out the remainder of the term.
Okay, so it's not a three-year term.
It is a three-year term if you're re-elected.
If I'm re-elected.
Or reappointed.
Or reappointed.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, though, that should be expected to serve the full term as, you know, as defined by your letter of appointment or something like that, rather than full term of 3 years. What do you guys think? Should we? You know, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but there's people who've been on the commission for longer than 3 years, haven't there?
There's some right next to me.
Right next to me, right here. So should we?
Can we just say term?
Yeah.
Their full term.
That's right.
Term.
Yeah.
The terms defined up here in your letter, so
that's right. And it's in your appointment letter,
right, so.
like Earl said. So just I would recommend that we just say serve their full term and then scratch out up 3 years.
Makes sense, especially with variability.
Okay, so take out that part. So F, well, what we'll do is F, which is line 83, the notes are in the draft. We'll strike out the version and just say each member is expected to serve their full term.
Right.
Period. Okay, and then we'll add that attachment.
It is up 3 years.
Does that make sense, everybody?
Yes.
So we have to make a motion for that too.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we strike out the words of 3 years from line 83 of the bylaws.
Okay, your second?
Second.
Okay. Perfect. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion's approved. Line 83.
Oh, could you go furnish some balance on that one?
The last three words of that sentence, of 3 years.
We can raise hands on this one, all right?
All right.
I get by with that.
Other modifications?
Wouldn't we add on page 2 in the special guest, the representative, be at the discretion of the Department of Environmental Services Director, the commission may include a special representative that holds the non-voting position.
Where are we at? Which one?
She's on page 2.
Two.
She's
under
line 49.
49. Line.
Yeah, 49G. Okay, sorry.
It's for line 49.
Line 49.
Special guest or representative.
Yeah.
In the commission organization.
Your question whether that has been added or has it always been?
When was that added?
I assume the red lines are the only items that are added.
New information. We have not struck out anything. The only thing that was struck out as of the last few minutes is 83. Last 3 words.
So the new items are in red?
Yes.
Okay. So I presume that.
Is this in red here?
This is that. Well,
on yours, it's going to look in probably lighter.
It's kind of gray. It's the new section number 5.
Printed and it shows
it
red.
At the office.
So that's been in there.
Earl, what does that mean? When did this come into play?
Been there for quite a while.
What would be an example of that, Earl?
Would be like an unpaid intern working for a congressman. The Youth Commission wants to get more involved with it, and they put a representative, or the school district wants to put a representative on to one of the students or anybody from the district who wants to come down and listen and be involved in it.
Why would that not be like Jennifer and Art, you know, where they have special contributions that they
well,
make?
What this would be, the person would be part of the group. It would be part of the commission itself. It wouldn't be somebody just sitting in the audience, because every day, Art could be sitting there, and Art could have a bad day. So, you might come up with something.
I don't think that's possible.
if he has a bad goal. But the intent was basically to provide an opportunity, because several years ago, like today, we have two guests. Several years ago, this was even before Bobby came along, we had a packed room. We had basically a bunch of Boy Scouts sitting in the audience. And some of them were very eager, you may recall that, sitting in the audience. Some of them were very eager to be on some commission. So we decided that it would be appropriate, if we wanted to, as a group, I didn't write this language, but as a group, we said that it would be helpful for them to be part of this commission.
Well, why is that at the discretion of the environmental services director rather than
the group?
At the group.
That's what I
don't understand.
So
I would
change it to
discretion of.
I mean,
sure.
No, the environmental service director or the Clean Water Commission,
or the chair of the Clean Water.
Well.
Okay.
I mean, the Clean Water Commission.
We voted in.
I mean, okay. Hey, if Don wants to bring somebody down who wants to participate, or somebody comes down here and wants to participate, we should say, thumbs up, thumbs down. Hey, you look like a,
okay.
You know,
so,
if somebody's making a lot of public comment and doing a really good job and they want to come on board and they got some enthusiasm, then you can be welcome in. That's my opinion.
You can put it in your bylaws, then it has to go to the board for approval.
Oh, fine.
Well, so would you say that you wanted to, if that's, we should scratch that where it says environmental services director and just say at the discretion of the, or the, voted by the board, you know, except it's by
the Clean Water Commission?
By the Clean Water Commission.
Yes.
Right now, the director.
Yeah.
Scratch Don.
I'm gonna bet you're gonna push back on that.
Well,
could be totally wrong.
I don't think.
I could see the director and or the Clean Water.
Well, I don't think you'll get pushed back.
It's not gonna get pushed back because nobody. It's really up to, and I agree with you. It's really up to us. It's like,
right.
Hey, you're coming down. He can send anybody down he wants. And the guy can say, hey,
so
let me
know
what there's
anything.
So,
you know, just like Jennifer did tonight.
So the language is what then?
The
discretion of the
Clean Water Commission. And scratch out Department of Environmental Services Director that, at the direction or discretion of the Clean Water Commission. The commission may include.
Okay, that's a motion.
Yeah. Discussion.
Huh?
Discussion.
All right.
In with that wording, my interpretation is that the director of environmental services could not appoint a person.
Correct. He could bring him down here.
He could bring him down here for a vote.
But he couldn't appoint. Is that correct?
Yes. The board is the one that appoints people to this group.
Right.
The Board of County Commissioners.
Right.
Nobody else.
So I'm just, if I'm in his shoes, or that person's shoes, with that wording, what I would read is that if I'm that person, I, taken out of that, could not.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You could not.
To bring it down and let us vote and see if we want to include it.
I could not.
Yeah.
You could bring it down, but it would be up to us.
Okay. I'm just suggesting that a duly appointed and paid member of county staff in that role would likely, I would expect, object.
I'm a duly appointed non-paid
person
in that role.
Don't try to chew my head off.
I'm just saying that
I always try to put myself in the other person's shoes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm suggesting that if that language goes in, and if it has to go through to be reviewed and accepted beyond this group or not?
No.
these are your bylaws. They're written on how you guys run the meeting.
Okay, so this
that, and can, if can, this verbiage has been in there for years, that means it's been in here prior to Don being in his
right.
off, in
yeah,
his
you know,
role.
Right. Honestly, I don't think Don will object to that at all.
I don't think he will either.
I don't either. And I think, you know, any tool we have in our toolbox to help us do this work is more than welcome. So I think that this needs to be.
I'm suggesting I wouldn't have any issue with adding the director and or the Clean Water Commission. Just personally. But I don't see any reason to exclude.
He's not being excluded.
I think that if he has an objection, for a strong objection, we'll see him down here making his case. But I don't think we will.
Right.
I think it's keeping us more independent.
Yeah.
Any more discussion on it? So the motion has been made to remove the language of the Environmental Services Director and change the language to the Clean Water Commission for the appointment.
I second that.
I might read that. But
no, you did it.
Okay.
All right. Is that what you got, Bobby?
Who's making the motion? Huh?
It wasn't your motion?
Okay,
it was my motion.
Motion,
yeah.
You're seconding?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you please repeat the motion again?
Okay.
That's why you signed up for this job, Jim.
We're going to remove...
Thank you.
We're going to remove, at the discretion on... This is line 49. It's actually G on page 2.
Yep.
At the discretion of the Environmental Services Director, okay, the Department of Environmental Services Director, that will be scratched. Department Environmental Services Director will be removed, and it will say, at the discretion of the Clean Water Commission.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Good. Good job.
Okay, it's been moved, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All right. Ayes have it. The first set of ayes.
That was supposed to be an A. Well, actually, it's unanimous, right? You got an ayes and then an A's. There was no nays.
No nays. Sorry.
It was all ayes. That's a unanimous vote.
Okay. So.
Any other modifications? So, if we want to approve these things tonight, just throw this out there, again, as a liaison to your group here. Are you comfortable with the names of the representations that I put down? So, for example, Brian Pecky's not here tonight, but I'm sure he'll be okay being identified as a small business owner. He owns a small gas station. It's out on 76th Street. Dick, citizen at large, is that okay for you? Okay. Gary, South Clark County representative?
Fine.
Okay. Jim's business owner?
Sure.
Okay. Susan, North Clark County / agriculture.
You may add forestry to that again. Sorry. I'm getting a lot of forestry calls.
Are you a forestry person?
No, but I have a lot of friends and family that are. Okay.
Virginia, rural landowner?
Well, I also have a forestry designation.
Okay. So forestry with you. Okay. Mr. McKinney, Central Clark County?
Sure.
Okay. You want to be identified in anything else?
No, I'm good.
Good.
Aviator at large.
Yeah.
Mr. Meyer?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
It's from Arkansas? Okay.
Yes.
Melanie, I'm just putting her down. She lives over in the Camas area, so I'm putting her down as East Clark County. Anything else?
That's good.
So with these modifications, I'll suggest back to the chair, I can't make a motion, but maybe you can make a motion to accept.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the bylaws as revised.
Perfect.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
You got it right this time.
All right.
So yay, yay, nay.
Yay, nay.
It's a little nay.
All right. It's done.
All right. Now we're going to work on going on to the annual report. So.
This one you wrote, Jim?
Well, I did.
embassy, right?
No.
What we'll say is staff put the thing together. It was all written by members of the Clean Water Commission.
At one point or another.
We take no credit for this.
So this is condensed down from the way it looked a couple years ago. Some of it was, you have to understand that when I put this together that a lot of the participating members on the Clean Water Commission, obviously this is last year's annual report, some of the new members really were here on anything, right? So with all the new members on board and the person who is the vice chair who, well, that was me, but the we all contributed to the annual report. Nancy gelled it together. She left. I took her position. I'm just giving a little history on it. So I just kind of put this thing together. I asked for a little bit of input. I heard nothing. So you're seeing what I composed. All right? I don't want to hear any names. I wasn't here. I can't even comment. But I did email back and say, I have no comment.
He did.
So, you know, it's a pretty simplistic annual report, and quite honestly, if you make it a fairly complex annual report, they don't read it, all right? You're better off getting the Board of County Commissioners, you know, involved in some dialogue about some of the issues rather than going over there and sitting there trying to put every line item on it, because it just gets pitched, to be honest. That is what happens on it. So, take a look at it. Goes over the SAC and TAC involvement, public education outreach. You know, we were heavily involved with watershed stewards. Unfortunately, it was defunded and disbanded. So we have to go out and find more outreach areas with the private. I addressed the funding issues, you know, a little bit. How that, you know, the funding is, that's kind of water under the bridge now because the board will be, you know, dealing with that, and we can move on to other projects next year. But it was something that was always on our mind because, you know, you always saw, you know, if it cost $10 million, we got $5 million. So funding issues was always a huge issue in 2013. So a lot of that's resolved.
Mr. Chairman, will we also have we'll be discussing this at our July 30th meeting with the commissioners to work in session?
That's what this is for?
This is what we...
Okay, so we're just all going to be gone over with the commissioners.
So what you want, if I may interject, what you want to do is be familiar with this report, have some key ideas or concepts in your mind as to what you want to, what kinds of questions you want to pose to the commissioners, making sure that they have an understanding of what it is you're talking about, and then absorb from them an opportunity. This is a good opportunity, one of the best opportunities you're going to have a one-on-one with these guys. Then you're sitting in the same room, you're going to be sitting in this room, sitting down in a work session, they're going to be on this side of the table, you're going to be on that side of the table. It's a good opportunity to have dialogue between the two of you. As Commissioner Carlson has said, it's a good opportunity to ask questions of them, take information from them, and get direction from them.
Will Director Benton also be here?
Yes. So what you'll have Director Benton, probably Ron Waringo. I'll sit in the back here. I'm not going to be sitting at the table. I used to sit at the table. I don't want to be sitting at the table anymore. So I'll sit in the back someplace. Bobby, our trustee recorder, will probably be there to take notes. And that's about it. And then there'll be the board, there'll be the executive person from the county, which is commissioner, not commissioner, but, excuse me, I can't talk right now, Mark McCauley. So you have the board here, Mark McCauley, staff will be on that side, there'll probably be some people in the audience, so room will probably be full.
Okay. So,
and you as commissioners, what I see happening is primarily it'll be Jim, yourself, and anybody else can come to the table if there's room at the table, or you can be in the first row so you can ask questions of them. So don't have any idea or if don't at all hesitant to ask questions of this board.
It's a great time to sit there after we go over that annual report. So it's like our board contact is usually fairly limited.
even though we'd like to increase that, you know, by making more and more recommendations to them and open the dialogue. But it's a great time to glean information on, you know, hey, what are you thinking? You know, what would you like to see us actually do? You know, what's your pet project, you know, on, you know, stormwater, or what do you think about LID, or, you know, what, it could be a variety of questions. So the broader the questions that are asked, you know, and glean that information out of it, it gives us things that we can work on over the next year. It's like, hey, I heard this, you know, from whoever on the board, whichever commissioner. And it's like, what we heard last year was, it's like, hey, you know, you guys aren't being, we'd like to see, you know, more reports given to us, or more activity on making recommendations to us. Instead of sitting there spinning, not that we spun our wheels on anything, but, you know, be able to come up and make a recommendation to the board, get it in their hands. It's like, hey, we had this discussion on whatever project it was or whatever part of the clean water program, and we really felt strongly we needed to make a recommendation. In a memo form, it could be as simple as that, but let's get stuff back to them. So they, if we create that, this was a year ago, create that interaction, that was something that at that time makeup report really wanted to see. So that was good information to be pulled out.
You know, I'd like to make one comment. When I went in for my interview with Tom Melfi and David Mandor, Tom expressed to me, he says, you don't always know what's happening with that commission, and we would like more input and a chance to interact with the folks, because they never really seem to know what they're doing. Now, I'm just, based on your comments, Jim, I just wanted to throw that out. It seemed like we have a who's on first, or left hand, right hand, not knowing what the right hand is doing, or whatever call situation. I'm surprised when you just said that, because that was his comments to me, and then David was, you know, he was in the room, he was on the speakerphone, but he, you know, he shared that same thing. He said, they seem to be kind of going off, and we never really understand what it is they're doing. I just walked into the room. I had no idea of any background or anything like that, but I wanted to share that with you based on the comments you just gave me.
So, and that's where the, my comment on it, this is, if we don't make any recommendations to them, they're never going to care what we do. So that's where it's like, you know, we get on some projects, get some recommendations, then they're going to have, some of it has to come down to them as far as, and they're not going to read every single minute, but if they get a memorandum on, this is a project and we want a little bit of input from you, or this is what we're working on, then they're going to have to kind of go back and look at some of the things that we're working on here. So we have done not a great job. I'm not going to say we did a poor job. But we haven't done a great job of trying to push, you know, push the things that we're doing and get them in front of the board. The flip side of it, they haven't done a very good job either of trying to be involved with them. So, I mean, there's definitely a lack of, and they're busy, yeah, but stormwater is a pretty big gig right now. And you know, when it came down to coming up with, this is just a comment, but when it came down to coming up with, hey, let's come up with some ideas on fees, okay, and ways to raise it, you know, I pretty much think that there's a pretty good little brain trust in here, but that would have been a good project for, as you have the staff independently work on it, it also could have been a good project for us to have a discussion on and make a presentation and see, as they're working on coming up with ideas to fund the program, what we would have come out with it with the available data. We weren't asked to do that. I personally think what we should be, you know, game doing those type of things. And then we're what we're doing in front of the commissioners, but they have to ask.
I guess what my comment would be on that is that if we sat in that meeting and we're sitting there and I make a comment and you're making a comment, the commissioners don't really know whether that comment is from me personally or from you personally or represents a feeling of what the board would like to do.
The board meaning the commission? Or
the commission, I'm sorry.
Okay.
The commission. So I guess the question in my mind is, should we have a working group meeting where we decide what it is we're going to be requesting of the commission, or do we just sit back silent again and not take limited input or have maybe confusing input? I think that we're going to, you know, that feeling that Commissioner Melke expressed, that he doesn't really know what we're doing or where we're going with this thing, is, you know, there's obviously a lack of communication, and I think that any communication they receive from us should be something that we all agree to of what we want to communicate.
So,
well,
go ahead.
I think they're more knowledgeable than what you think.
Everything you guys receive, they received too.
Yeah, they knew. I went before them at their hearing on the funding when they were going to vote for it, and then they withdrew it on the docket. They knew that I didn't vote for it, and they asked me why. And I told them, and I gave them a copy of that Exhibit E. So they knew before. They knew even before I went up there that I had objected to it. So they're reading. They're aware of what we're doing and our work.
Well, Director Benton was sitting there, and he had regular meetings with them in private, in their offices or in the boardroom. So I'm sure that he is keeping them informed. But I'm just saying, you know, if we just show up at that meeting and sit there, are we making comments that are our own opinion, or are we making comments that represent the board's opinion? Should we have a working session to decide what it is we want to share with the board, so that we can say, well, this is what, you know, this is what we feel we should be doing, or where we should be going, or what should be happening? Because it appeared to me that we have a definite communications challenge with what they think we're doing and what we think we're doing.
Dick? I would suggest that getting as clear an understanding of maybe the top two or three priorities from the commissioners, the things that stand out to them based on what they're aware of, the information, those certainly will change. Getting a feel for those and then coming back as a group and identifying a project or projects or something like the swamp. To come up with initiatives, doesn't have to be more than even two, one or two initiatives to then come together on as a group and pursue, to then go back to the commissioners and say, this is an initiative or initiatives that we believe would help meet your needs or your desires or your preferences.
So
that will show them that the group is doing something and then be able to report on that periodically.
So Dick, that's one thing we'll be able to glean out of our next meeting when we present the annual report. I'll tell you on the swamp thing, which was kind of my invention, but I went and I talked to, after the new appointments on the board, and I think you're all great. My disappointment was with when you have somebody who's already elected as vice chair and contributing to the annual report, supposedly, and it doesn't get reappointed, and Arthur doesn't get reappointed. I'm not saying change. I like change. I was a change agent for a couple different companies I worked for, but it threw me a little bit off on what that gig was. So I went over and I went over the swamp, which we'll go over here in a little bit, with Commissioner Melke. You got very excited about it. Okay. Bador tends to jump around on stuff a little bit. You know, his mind works really quick, and he liked it. He didn't understand that we weren't trying to violate any state laws or anything like that. But, you know, because we're already bound by what we have to do by the Department of Ecology and everything we're going to follow. This has nothing to do with us following things. This is with us creating partnerships with schools and municipalities and, you know, public, private, and building a system that actually works, which is funded, cuts the cost down. So anyway, there was enthusiasm about it. But that's, going back on that, those are things that can be gleaned out of the annual report.
It would make sense to me to do that and then come up with an initiative or initiatives mm-hmm. that would work in that direction.
Well, for instance, I heard Ron or Roanga, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, Riringa. Anyway, say our whole focus right now is strictly on compliance. So there's nothing. That indicated to me that there's nothing in there about proactivity. You know, we have like Salmon Creek up there that has to probably was contaminated. What about that, or what are our initiatives other than just, you know, blindly read the new regulations as they come down and rubber stamp the changes, you know, as they go forward? Do we have an idea of where we would like to see the clean water directions go in the future, or are we just here to sit down and review the documents that come by? And I think it should be the first that we should contribute, you know, our idea and our intellect to help the commissioners as best we can to forge a new path. That's the least I was suggesting. I'm still suggesting. I guess my suggestion is that maybe we consider having a working session before that meeting, so that we can agree on what it is we want to tell them as a board or as a commission, rather than just let it all float out.
I think Gary makes an interesting point, because as someone that's new to the commission here, I see many different opportunities from technical infrastructure, like the swamp is really focused on building new infrastructure, to some of the softer side of stormwater management, maybe public education, possibly research, and then building, I think, though I haven't been part of this, building upon input that we've given to the Stakeholder Advisory Committee and the Technical Advisory Committee, especially on stormwater design issues. So there's a number of different projects, kind of the soft side of the Commission on Education and Outreach, which I've heard, that's what I was hearing from Commissioner Mador in my interview, and in other discussions that I've had around with certain sure. groups, as well as some of the more technical engineering, like our infrastructure.
Well, don't get the swamp, don't confuse the swamp as all hard infrastructure. I mean, that's a big piece of it.
Okay.
But the hard infrastructure and all the regulations and all that stuff, that's done. Okay, it's going to come down in a manual, and we're going to follow.
Okay.
So we're kind of getting into the swamp thing right here, but.
I wasn't intending to.
No.
Do that. I'm just thinking from the standpoint of at least fleshing out a few ideas that we can bring to this meeting on the 30th. Maybe not, at least for my benefit, it's not such a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, to have an idea of like two or three.
What I hear is that it's the presentation of the report for the last year.
Yeah. Right.
Is that number one?
Yes.
Right. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then secondly, if I'm hearing correctly, it's to then understand in the coming, say, year.
Right.
Or 2 years or whatever.
One
you know, what their direction is, what their interests are, what their needs are.
Well, and that's where here's kind of the way I see it playing out a little bit. So we go through the annual report. I throw something out there, maybe on the swamp, okay, which I will. And the question is, it's like, what would you like us to work on? They'll give us that information at that meeting, at that time. We at that point we can adjust, make changes in our game plan for the next year, and work on something that we hear that they would like to see.
Or come up with something that they hadn't thought of. That
well, they hadn't thought of this.
I guess what I would
that's how come this is on yeah. this year. But
I guess what I'd share with you, Jan, is that based on what Commissioner Melke told me, well, we don't really understand what they're going or what's really happening or, you know, I think that they're looking for us to make recommendations based on our hearings and our work and our, you know, various intellect and areas of experience. They don't want to try to think of everything. They're trying to get from us ideas so that we can move forward in a cohesive manner. I really don't think that they understand that they have a defined agenda of what they want us to do. They have a defined envelope of what I think they want us to do, but I don't think they have an agenda of what they want us to do. They're probably going to ask for us to propose an agenda for them to review.
But they're going to have needs, aren't they?
I don't know.
They will have needs. They will express those needs they had in the past.
I'd like to know what those needs are. Yeah.
That's
budgetary, probably.
That's where you just ask the question.
But then the question is, what can we do to help solve those?
Is this all reactive, or do we have some ideas for proactive?
For me, proactive comes out of, in some degree, reactive. It's you're looking at things, you're reacting to them, you go, oh, by the way.
And I agree, but I think that we need to clarify what the by the ways are. That's what I'm trying to share with you.
Okay, one thing I want to remind you guys of is as soon as you guys approve this, then I get it to them, and the board reviews it before you guys go into the work session.
So we'll be reading.
Then you guys have 1 hour in that work session to go over this, answer any of the questions that the commissioners have from this, and then come up with something for what you want to do next year. And they might look at what you guys have written here going, I think that's good. Can your focus be a little bit more tuned here? And you guys can discuss that. So you only have 1 hour.
Right.
It's a limited amount of time, and like I said, they will receive this as soon as you guys approve it.
So that's what we got to get focused back on now, because we have 10 minutes to approve this.
Okay.
So.
And in here, you are
open for questions.
Yeah.
First off, my apologies. We got an email glitch, and I never received this.
Okay.
So I'm actually looking at this for the first time.
All right.
So on the funding section, last paragraph,
okay.
Last sentence actually, it's really a wordsmithing thing.
Okay.
What you're talking about. It says, as a commission, that needs to be addressed. We are jeopardizing the environmental compliance and putting the county at risk for additional appeals and legal challenges. When we're using the word we, I'm assuming that means we as a commission. Or the county.
We as a county.
Okay. So I would suggest that we change that word just the county.
To Clark County.
Clark County is in jeopardy.
Okay.
Of being out of compliance with the NPDES permit requirements and therefore putting the county at risk for additional appeals and legal challenges. It's more like a wordsmithing.
That's
okay.
Good. I think that's good.
Okay.
On the next page, under future actions for 2014, under the swamp concept, I'm not sure how much detail you want to provide in this whole section on future actions for 2014, or just have bulleted items.
So when we throw in a lot of detail, we don't get a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So that's purposely meant to be a bulleted, from my perspective, more of a bulleted type of idea to sit there and get questions to be asked.
You want them to say, tell us about swamp.
That's what I want. Okay. That's what I want out of the deal.
So does it have additional value then to have that one additional sentence about the swamp concept? When you didn't have any additional discussion about the options of swamp?
No, I mean, the one additional sentence, I don't care what we do with it, all right? But as far as keeping it there, I just want to make sure you got the one sentence, here's the concept on it, you know, creating the true multi-use, multi-purpose, multi-use is defined. And I want somebody to ask me what multi-use, what do you define multi-use as?
Well, multi-use could be used by a very wide variety of organizations.
That's multi-use.
That's multi-use.
And what's multi-purpose?
And serve a variety of purposes.
Right, that's correct. So that's the question. When you ask that, what are you thinking about purposes? I want that question to be asked.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking about purposes in there? Well, you know, it could be a softball field, it could be a golf course. You know, the way that we do, and this is particularly going to be, we got to get back on this, but prevalent up in like the 179th Street area, but it has very tight cohesive soils, all right? LID is not going to work up there very well. It's going to stop a little bit of it.
LID?
Low impact development.
Okay.
So if you apply a little bit of LID, but if we go out and have to build a pond up there, it's going to look like Battleground Lake. Because I'm going to tell you how clay the soils are, and it all sets on a hill. So without going out and partnering with, say, potentially a school who may be across the street, but there isn't one right there, but that's where we would come up and say, hey, how about we partner on the stormwater here? You know, how about we use part of your property? This doesn't get done, all right, right now. Traditionally, it doesn't get done very well. And when it gets done, when somebody puts some infrastructure in there and tries to get it done the other way for somebody else to use it, it doesn't work, does it?
That's right.
And so you got a bunch of money laid out there when there was a promise made, because every institution lies in its own little fiefdom, okay? That's the way it works. That's the way it works between the state, that way it works between the county, and that's the way it works between the city. These are the barriers that are designed to be tore down over the swamp idea.
So that must be the reason why you're using the word true. Yeah.
That's right, true.
That was my question. Right. About that word as well.
Well, now you. So does that make sense? True?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, that's,
but see, when I make that dialogue with you, it's like now you're asking me some questions, and
sure.
Now I'm going to do some explaining on it.
Sure.
Okay.
So, the question is do we want to have a little bit more information built in around those two bullets, or just leave the two bullets?
I leave them.
And then have nothing else to generate them.
I have one.
There'll be lots of dialogue.
That's all I have.
I have one more quick comment, and it's, I don't know how frivolous or how important it is. As a commission, we're in agreement that the fee needs to be addressed. That fee needs to be addressed. It is far lower than any other fee in the region. And I would submit that the fees need to be addressed because we have a real need. It doesn't matter how low or how high we are with any other fees that are in the region. We have compliance issues that are required to be funding, and therefore it doesn't matter whether we're lower or higher or at or any other funding. We have, because of our circumstances, the settlement of lawsuits and the new regulations and stuff like that, we need to increase those fees, and it doesn't matter whether they're lower or higher or anything else. It's just that we have fee needs that need to be addressed because of the circumstances we're in.
Okay.
I would suggest that we just strike that because it's not relevant.
Strike it.
Well, I'm okay with it. And the reason I'm okay with leaving it in there is I presume that these types of reports either are read by or could be used as a reference for other groups or services. And
okay.
If you're trying to make sure that the point is made that the current fee structure is extremely low,
well, why
or
is that
below,
though, I guess.
Well,
from a political standpoint.
Yeah, from a political standpoint, you're saying we've got to raise the fees even if we don't want to, and look, we're already significantly below. It's a potential tool.
That's a valid point. I'll withdraw my comment.
All right.
Comment's good. Withdraw it.
Yeah. So you're going to call the question here?
Well, the only people who can vote to approve this are the people who were participating in the commission at the time, can't they?
Go ahead.
Are we going to have a discussion at the annual report over the fee waiver for schools, or is that a done deal?
We're not going to have. Right now, I would say that's in other hands. Right now, we can have discussion and we can make.
Recommendations.
recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners, but that's not going to go in the, I wouldn't put that in the annual report. I don't think that that's be honestly pertinent on it. But for us to make a recommendation, Bobby?
Well, I was just going to say, this is your 2013 annual report.
It is the 2013.
The information for the school waivers didn't come out until 2014.
That's the other reason.
We have to cut the line somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it could be.
Okay.
I mean,
well, you're anxious to see the results of the school district. You after their three-year process in July 13th.
That brings an interest. When did that go into effect?
So we're on the annual report right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we can move on to some other stuff. So we've made a couple of we changed what was
Clark
it?
County.
Clark County.
From we.
That's the only change that we're made in this annual report. Okay.
Everybody else okay with the grammar, spacing, look?
I'm okay with it.
All right. So.
I am going to make one other change that I think would be pertinent.
What is it?
Just on the page for the Clean Water Commissioners.
Okay.
I'm going to put the term ended for Morgan and Stubbs. So that way for 2013, even though we're into 2014.
All right.
It shows why they're not participating at these tables.
Okay.
When you guys go.
All right, perfect. So, can I get a motion from...
I make a motion we accept the County Clean Water Commission 2013 annual report as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I didn't think we
opposed.
Yeah, right, I presume the only ones who could make the motion and vote were those.
Oh,
who were
well, anyway,
everything's fine.
It kind of got dumped on me. I don't mind doing that stuff,
fine.
But I like working in a team. To be honest with you, where everybody throws in a paragraph or two on it, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, you're gonna take care of funding. Write a paragraph about funding for me, Dick. Write a paragraph about swamp for me. And then I'll put it together.
I'm all for that.
You know, and then it's fun. Then it's fun to do it. And the other thing that I want to look at next year that we're gonna is so I'm this didn't go anywhere last year, but I like to work in the shared document space, all right? Like Google Documents, something like that. It got flat turned down, people didn't like it. But I like putting stuff up in a shared document space where we can collectively work on it at home in our own time, and if anybody's ever experienced it, it actually works pretty good. So, I mean, it's not super sophisticated, but it's where people can make comments and strike stuff and put all stuff in there. And then it doesn't come down to this. It comes
to reading direction.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can sit there and then we can sit there and put something together that was really cool and a really cool collective part of the group. Where we had a lot of participation in. So
it just means you don't take all the blame next year.
I don't take all the blame. I don't take all the credit either. I don't like taking credit.
Thank you for writing this.
Yeah,
story.
No problem.
You did a great job.
So, all right. Now we're going to go on to the swamp.
So in your packet, this is an item where I put together a little staff report, and I just basically took what was Jim's stuff and started cobbling things together. So what I tried to do is write a little executive summary. Please read through the material at your leisure. But the bottom line is there were questions asked, what is swamp? Why do we use swamp? So on and so forth. So what I tried to do is ad lib here a little bit, guess a little bit.
Okay.
And so I wrote this little report. And what this report basically does, it has two components. The first component is if we're going to do anything called swamp, swamp is basically a mouthful about saying coordination. It's really a coordination, breaking down barriers, getting people to work with each other, and it doesn't have to be municipalities. It could be anything. So we could be doing a swamp program on virtually anything. Coordination with the schools, coordination with other parties. It doesn't have to be hard products. It doesn't have to be soft products. It's a variety of products. So that's the way I look at it. So what I tried to do then is come back and say, what are the chief issues? If we're going to do any kind of swamp-related function or activities, we're going to have one, a good explanation of the nature of the project, we're going to have to identify tasks, subtasks, and deliverables. What is it that's going to come out of this thing called SWAMP? What do we want to have that we're going to give to somebody that is a SWAMP-related project or function? We're going to have a list of organizations. So what I try to do is come back and say, what are the people who are going to be doing this SWAMP? I'm not just going to jump in. Who is going to do the work? Obviously, there are going to be some staff people involved in this thing. There's going to be a list of other people involved in it. And then what is the overall budget? Where's the money going to come from? Because I can tell you, we don't have a boatload of money sitting off to the side. Even if we have plenty of money in our program, we don't have a lot of money to do SWAMP-related activities.
Earl secretly has the stash.
I'm going to take your pharmacy money.
So
we don't have a boatload of money. And then also putting together a schedule. How long is this going to take? Those are the kinds of questions I would expect to come out of the commissioner's mouth if they're going to be talking about SWAMP. And then what I try to do is to put together some ideas and concepts. First of all, what are we going to get out of this? What kind of problem are we trying to solve? What kind of work are we going to do? What are the deliverables? Where is this going to occur? How long is it going to take? When is it going to end? Those are the kinds of things, like any scoping report. This is basically just a scoping report of the project. And then what I threw in there for kicks and giggles is the basically an attachment, or Exhibit A and then Exhibit B. And Exhibit A is basically what Jim just talked about. It talks about what is a SWAMP. And then Exhibit B is a staff report that I put together for this group back in January. It talks about how do we do this? Where is the money going to come from? From my perspective, money can probably come from the federal government. It's an opportunity the federal government has looked at for trying to coordinate jurisdictions. In fact, they have different programs. And what we've looked at here is this five-star water resources program, which they actually look around the country and say, who's got the ability to do something that's innovative? And if they find innovative programs, then they're more willing to want to fund those innovative programs. So I threw that out there as an attachment B. And in the back of that attachment B, you can see some of the organizations that I've talked about. It can be developers, it can be attorneys, it can be neighborhood associations, it can be anybody that really is interested in doing SWAMP-related functioning activities. And at this point, I turn it over to Jim.
So, a little bit of background. We're trying to figure out something to do, you know, on some different ideas on what the commission can work forward on. And we talked about finding areas that we could actually build a multi-use facility on, right? And that really isn't too viable right now yet because we haven't identified what the barriers are on how we remove the barriers for even interagency stuff, to create interlocal agreements between, say, the city of Battleground or the school district who builds an infrastructure, and then we can't execute. We have a total lack of being able to execute and be able to put together a multi-use, multi-purpose type of function. Because quite honestly, the communication level goes back into the Pythons a little bit, but the communication level is so poor on what we do. And a couple examples of this would be, I'll go from a state example, on Highway 502 running into Battleground. So I graded off a parking lot for a church up there, and the state built they did some wetland work, and they had a stormwater detention pond put in there. And the state built that. Now this is inside the urban growth boundary, all right? City of Battleground, I think it's the city of Battleground, maybe it's county. Might be inside the city. Anyway, no, it's county. So there's two agencies involved. So they built a stormwater facility there, which only serves the purpose of the road, strictly the highway, in an area that is potentially going to develop. So there's no long-range look at building a system that can actually handle development and create a partnership between city, state, county, you name it, and any private developer in there. The same thing was true when on 179th Street, and this is also brought up, and I spent a lot of time on the Three Creeks Advisory Council, and this is back when Commissioner Morris and Stewart and Bolt were all on there, and I got appointed by Bolton and Morris, both wanted me to go out and do that. But and that was on urban growth, urban planning, inside essentially the Three Creeks area, Highway 99 up to 179, because I was very vocal about wanting to get my property developed at the time, and I sat underneath urban holding, which has to do with concurrency, which I'm not even going to get into, but there's a lot of reasons why that area hasn't developed yet. There'll be a lot of reasons because of stormwater that area will be slow to develop until this stuff gets resolved. And anyway, Killian has a chunk of land off of 15th Avenue, that's north-south between 179th and down to Albertson. And he came up there, and it's called Three Creeks LLC. He reserved all his trips, and he sat there and he said, hey, I'm going to build this regional stormwater facility. You know, he's presenting this to the county. I'm going to build this regional stormwater facility. It's like, baloney. You're not going to build anything bigger than what can service your development. There's no reason to build anything bigger than that, because that is the way that we do business today, right? So now we end up with stormwater facilities, what are quarter acre, eighth of an acre, little ponds all over the county, all right? There's really not a whole lot of adjoining, because what we've done now is we've filtered all this water out, and now we can let it flow its natural course after we've caught it, and there's no incentive. There's no reason to partner, because we don't know how to do it. So that's where, remember the guy from the City of Battleground, which I haven't talked to yet, but that's somebody we need to sit down. The City of Battleground is very interested in talking about, because they like new and innovative ideas. And also, I've got a name of a guy, I don't have it on me right now, but up in Olympia, and they want to look at this stuff. The state wants to look on how to create these partnerships. So this could be a great deal for us to work on in a project. We haven't identified all these barriers. We need to identify the people we need to talk to. And, you know, when the school district came down here and we sat there and I listened to that whole thing, this is my thing on it. It's like, so we were removing the fees from the, or excuse me, removing the fee exemption, because that was sounded like pretty much a done deal. And according to the letters, it was pretty much a done deal. That we were going to remove that, but there was so much friction in that meeting between the school districts and what was going on with the county that it was like, wow, why would they even want to partner with us? Nobody wants to partner right now because we can't see past, we can't get past this. This is going to be my way. This is the way we're going to do it, and there's no reason for us to partner. I don't know how other to describe it. It was very short-sighted, just to, in my opinion. We needed the money. The fee probably needed to go away. I don't totally disagree with that, trust me. But we didn't look at any other ways to create value for the school district and figure out a way to actually do something that would, you know, maybe make sense on a multi-use project. She knows of a stormwater facility, what they built, what they never got any reimbursement on. Am I right?
We increased the size of the pipe of several stormwater and sewer capacity to fill, to create more capacity in the neighborhood as we were building on to the school. And through that agreement with the county and the developer, who's now sold this property five times over and there's nothing to follow the permit, to follow the building permit, yeah, we were out about $200,000 in enlargement fees. So we had already engineered and designed it, and we're going to put it in for ourselves. And that county came to us and said, hey, why don't you build it bigger? And we'll go ahead and connect these new properties when they develop. And then as they develop, they'll proportionately do a latecomer's fee back to the district.
And fail.
Failed.
Yeah.
The paperwork failed, the permits were issued, the property was sold, it couldn't get tracked back, we worked with the attorneys, we worked with Pete, so it failed.
That's
well, we provided some infrastructure for a developer, several developers, to get connected to
So resolving those problems or finding, coming up with solutions or ideas so that doesn't happen again, I think that would create a lot of value.
So let me ask a question, or probably a naive question, an uninformed question about that. The county commissioners are in the process of wrapping up their 20-year growth projections for Clark County. Going through that process. There's going to be this many more people in here, there, and everywhere, right? Et cetera. Is there a equivalent 20-year clean water program?
No, maybe it's a dumb question.
If the county believes, and the county commissioners, that you do a 20-year growth projection to plan out into the future, how many people are going to be where, et cetera, and how the zoning is going to change to accommodate whatever density and number of people living, et cetera, et cetera. Yes?
You know, if that's a salient question, I really believe...
Then why is there not an equivalent? Maybe there is.
If you do new development, you're required to treat your own water before you go. Low-impact development would then essentially cover all new development that's happening.
I understand why everybody does their own little detention pond because that's what they need to do for their particular project. I understand. It makes perfect sense. I'm going to live in the here and the now and today, and I'm going to deal with that which I have to deal with to develop my property, to sell things, to make my money. It absolutely makes sense, et cetera. I just, again, my naive question is, if there's a 20-year growth projection process, should there not be attendant equivalent 20-year projections on not just water, but roads?
There is. In the growth management plan.
There are others. Not water.
Roads fall under concurrency.
But they are behind. Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, Dick has a great point here because if you don't have an equivalent plan, 20-year plan for stormwater and all these other things, you're always going to be in a reactive mode. You're always going to be trying to play catch up with what's new unless you have a 20-year plan. And I think that's brilliant.
Well, whatever the period of time is.
And that's something that maybe we should be talking to the commissioners about on the 30th. Sorry.
Well, that's all right. I just thought I'd raise my hand.
Is that the end?
So I've been listening with great interest because when I was in San Diego for many years, I participated on the watershed stakeholder advisory for a very large watershed in the north part of San Diego County, which went all the way from the crest of the mountains where it drops down in the desert, all the way to the sea. And it went through at least five or six municipalities, open county area, agriculture zones, designated agriculture zones, as well as other urban zones as well. The county really looked at taking a watershed-based approach to comprehensive, integrated, multi-use, multi-resource watershed management. Mm-hmm. Developed a series of watershed management plans, not just for the San Diego watershed, but they did it for a couple other watersheds, critical watersheds in San Diego County. And so my question is, being relatively new to the county, I've been here for 5 years, historically, has there ever been a watershed-based approach to, similar to Dick's question, handling multiple uses within a particular watershed, whether it's the Burnbridge Creek or Salmon Creek or Lackness Creek, wherever it is, so you can take in that whole multi-use concept that the swamp is intended to do?
I don't know what they're doing on this comp plan.
I can't speak for the current comp plan, but answering your question specifically, there have been watershed plans developed,
okay. But
once you start stripping away the cover, it's less a watershed plan and more of a drainage plan. So what's been developed, they call it a watershed plan because I've worked on a couple of these in the past. I've, in fact, worked on the Burnbridge Creek one for years. Okay. Basically, what it was and what it intended to do was to capture the water, Jim was saying, capture it, treat it, release. That was the concept from ecology, from the State Department of Ecology. So it was, in those days, capture, put big ponds in the ground, whether it's multi-use or other jurisdictions or what have you. That was the concept. But basically what it was a drainage plan. So what they talked about then years later, there was another one called the Lakeshore Salmon Creek Plan. So we had the Burnbridge Creek Plan, we did that first, then we were going to do the Lakeshore Salmon Creek Plan, and then we were going to go out to the Lackamas Watershed and do a plan out there as well. to look at the drainage for those particular locations. All of that got pushed to the side because then this thing called NPDES came to town and said, Clark County, you need to implement an NPDES permit, which is a stormwater permit. Less a drainage permit, but stormwater. So that's what we started to do. Some of you were part of that program when we came to town and said, all right, we set aside all of these drainage slash watershed plans, now we're going to start doing NPDES work, which is a five-year permit. So we started doing five-year permits and got away from the long-term focus of what is going on in our backyard.
But still, the overall emphasis should, somewhere along the way, despite this change, have been focused on water quality.
Well, what we did,
right.
we focused on both water quality and quantity.
And quantity.
So then we did it for particular watersheds. And then we started talking about numbers and costs. So, for example, in the Lakeshore Salmon Creek watershed, we were talking about $13, $14 a month in that particular watershed to implement the various hard surface construction-like activities and do water quality treatment. And went from that to, that was kind of like good, better, best. So the good level was basically $13 a month. And went from roughly, don't quote me on the numbers, from about 40-some million all the way to $250 million for that one watershed. Now, if you go to other places in Clark, or other places in the West Coast, or other places in Western Washington, per square mile, it's much, much more expensive today than it was back in the mid-90s.
So part of what, also one thing that goes on is during the comprehensive plan update in there, so it's the last one I was heavily involved with. They don't look at a whole lot at any of the watershed. They'll look at the road infrastructure. You know, what's the easiest, cheapest way to set their, what road fixes can I do easy, you know, to develop this area? And obviously, urban growth area sets, you know, City of Vancouver, City of Battleground, that all expands out. That's where the growth is. That technically, that's where they want the growth to be at, around the city centers, expand outward from that. And everybody's supposed to have their certain amount of industrial land, their business park land, obviously their residential. They have what they call, what's called no net loss. So they try to build all the mixed use and all this stuff in here so they have a certain amount of job creation. So they keep, you know, every town has to have jobs or it relies on the taxpayer who drives someplace else to do it. What they don't do is they don't do a very good job of a holistic overview of what the land actually looks like in there. So, you know, there's a lot of, if you take 179th area, which I know really well because I live there, but so you've got a lot of micro watersheds in there. On my side of the hill, I feed into Whipple Creek. Over the crest of the hill, on after 50th, that feeds into Mill Creek in there. Some of that area in there, and this is probably, even departmental doesn't get done very well in there. It's like, hey, you know what? You really need to strip off that industrial zoning in there, or you need to, or this area here can actually handle some more density in it. But by contracting and expanding the density requirements in there, you can actually do better filtering of the water with in certain types of areas. But it really takes work in the watershed with the people who are doing the comprehensive plan update. And this could be a recommendation that we make. But it would take us to look at the GIS mapping, the inventory of the land, the soil types. And when it really comes down to watersheds and the stormwater in there, it's until somebody puts a shovel in the ground and pours water in a hole and figures out how fast that water goes in the hole, that's what decides how big the stormwater pond is right now. So that's the way it works. That's where you put a system in where you can sit there and, you know, this area ain't so great for drainage. I can get it down here in this area. It might be on Vancouver School District's land, but they got to build the infrastructure bid. And you know what? We got to give them the dough. We got to make sure that these stakeholder or agreements, development agreements, hold in place, because that's valuable infrastructure that's basically got wasted.
I've been involved in this, the rewrite of our comp plan, not because of my work here at the Water Commission, but because of another organization I belong. Our comprehensive growth management plan is driven by the Office of Financial Planning, not environmental offices at all. It's interesting. And when the commissioners hold their hearing, the cities are present at the table. There aren't environmental agencies there at all. And, you know, maybe this needs to be brought up at the discussion on the 30th, that we should be at that table to weigh, to have some input on this. Because I know Commissioner Madore is interested in creating allies and partnerships on this. And right now would be an opportunistic time to weigh in.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that I just looked at the comp plan, and in November 2011, there's a coordinated water system plan update that would probably be helpful in informing the discussions that are happening, and it gives the whole history around 1989, the things put in place, and who changed what, and what was based off of, and it does have things like a year 2014 projected needs for water rights and existing projected
but
water.
That's data. Water rights.
That's water consumption. So we were.
I get that, but if you look at the 233-page document, there's existing water supply negatively impacting the in-stream flows. I mean, so there's other components in here that just might help inform where we've been.
I was part of that same group, and I sat down. They called it the Woke Book. So what it was basically the Water Utility Coordinating Committee book.
Okay.
What they were a bunch of water purveyors, including the Department of Health. We all sat down in a room. The only thing why we were there is because we had land use authority. So sitting down, what they were literally doing is deciding who's going to provide the water in what area of the county. And so what they were looking at is they do an extensive review, but it's basically the quantity of water that's going to be utilized by the citizens of Clark County, by the utilities of Clark County, by the public of Clark County, and these allies. So they look at all that stuff and they say, how much water is going to be consumed? How much water rights do we have? Can we borrow water rights? Can we remove water rights? So they look across the entire county and try to remove water rights that are not being used and try to bring that into the fold for municipalities, for water purveyors. The other side of it is, what we're talking about today is not water consumption. We're talking about water quality, municipalities, what they're going to do, what are we as a group of people throughout Clark County going to do to preserve the water, and how do we maintain the water in the watershed basis. So it's really an interesting concept, which is good. We need to have the water. Because as you know, most of our water comes from groundwater throughout all of Clark County. In fact, the only area that used to have surface water was the city of Camas. They would get water from Jones Creek, Gibbons Creek, some of those places, maybe with surface water. Now they've gone to groundwater as well. So the bottom line is, there's all that stuff that Mrs. Halleck is talking about, but the bottom line is that's all related to water consumption, water protection, that kind of stuff. It's not related to, we're talking about water use.
So my question then is it something that this group either could or should take on as a, particularly as a project? It's not a near-term project, but in a, I like swamp, but maybe there's a second better. maybe there's a second one, and that's actually looking at matching up the long-term look at water quality to be congruent with other long-term planning.
You know, that,
I don't know what would be involved
that,
in doing
that. Would
that
would be the 20-year plan.
Okay,
right.
But in, I don't even know what would be involved, what it would take. I have no concept of this.
You just said it.
But it just is that the type of thing that this would be appropriate for this type of commissioner?
I think if you're going to have a 20-year plan in one area, you need to have a 20-year plan in all areas, especially something as critical.
Well, the swamp because it's municipalities coordinating development. If you're not looking way out to say, you know, what are those plans, how, where are the people going to be, and what are the demands going to be, it seems to me it makes sense to try to plan the water quality to fit in with those anticipations to sort of pre-plan and look ahead.
Maybe Earl can invite someone who is county staff that's working on the 20-year comp plan to talk about how water quality is or is not discussed within the 20-year comp plan. Find out how it's inserted, and then this group can make a review and recommendation as to whether you think it would be part of
the previous group. Is basically, it's community planning. What they do, they go out and they'll ask different departments what they're doing. So there was a big discussion about, I don't know, almost 8 or 9 years ago now, the last time we did this comprehensive growth discussion. So they would invite different departments in to talk a little bit about what are they doing in that department, as it relates to water. So they came to us and talked about stormwater. Well, what are we doing in stormwater? How's that going to affect the program? So they would try to set aside different programs and different components of their report to talk about that. But there wasn't a whole lot to be discussed at the time because we weren't doing a whole lot 10, 15 years ago.
What's involved in the concurrency, Art? Just the roads?
I don't know what they're doing
utilities?
I don't know what they're
concurrency. Concurrency follows basically all traffic and infrastructure.
That's all?
For the most part.
You know, I guess I'd like to put a motion before the board. We can either vote it up or down. I would like to make a motion that we schedule a working session before the 30th to outline a coherent proposals, or maybe two or three, whatever we would think is appropriate for the board, so that we speak as a board rather than, you know, individuals or just let the thing flow like water. So that's my, I'd like to put that motion before.
I'll second that anytime.
Okay.
Just go. Question, discussion, would the focus of this to be to develop a more cohesive business case to present to the board? Or some more specific concrete details
I think it could be both, but I really liked what Dick said about, hey, if we're going to have a 20-year plan in one area, we should maybe look at having a 20-year plan in all areas, and then maybe propose what that, and he elicited, you know, you already said that, Dick, pretty well. Maybe, and it should contain these elements. And that's what I would like, rather than just, you know, and I think it's taking a proactive approach rather than a reactive approach. And it allows us to come to the board as a consensus group rather than just a bunch of individual actors. So that's my motion.
I would prefer to present the report presented for last year, and then ask questions and get a sense of what's there. Now, it doesn't mean that this group doesn't think that there are some different directions to go instead,
right,
or some things that can be done to support those items that are raised. Just for me, it's presumptive to go in and put something together really quick to go in and share with them. I
agree with Dick on that. I would glean the information out. This is just my recommendation, so I won't support it. But I would glean the information out, see what they have to say, and at that point, we get back together and have a meeting. As far as I'm concerned, immediately after
I would agree with that.
With the board meeting, well, we can schedule one in an extra meeting, just as a little work session for us on, and the sooner that we do it after what we have, it'll be fresh in our minds and say, hey, this is what I heard.
Yeah.
Let's come out and work on it. You know, this is what, and then we can come up and we can
swamp and anything else.
Or anything else. I do like it pretty well, but I'm in love with doing what they want us to work on. I want to do something that is meaningful for this commission to work on, and if they have something they want us to work on, I'm all for it. So
I guess I would say, based on my comments I previously shared with you about what Tom Melky was telling me, is says, I don't know, you know, what they're working on or what they're doing. I think that they would like to hear something from us as proposals that they can chew over and then have a chance to...
They got one.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying that I think they would like to have something from us, at least some proposals for them to weigh out, and then maybe come back with us and say, well, we like this, we don't like that. Otherwise, we're asking them to do all the thinking for us.
I get it, but for me, I personally... Purely, I am not in a position, I don't have any comfort at all between now and then of coming up with a set of proposals and recommendations and enough details. I don't.
But do you think they have to be details, or do you think they
I don't even know what I propose.
So if,
Bobby's got it all written down.
But those are some ideas.
We're running out of time, so
we have a motion in a second.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right. Point of order, Mr. Chairman. We have a motion on
okay.
the floor.
So the motion was to have a cohesive meeting before the 30th.
Okay.
For have a consensus recommendation.
All in favor? Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Yay, nay.
Yeah, nay.
Is it nay or yay? All right.
Okay, there was also just...
What?
I'm not supposed to talk during these meetings, but I'm going to anyway. Do you guys also say that you would be up for having a meeting after the work session?
That's another
one. Are you talking about directly after? Like, should I schedule a conference room for you guys to go from room into another room? Or are you guys talking about another night meeting that you guys would like to do?
I'm not going to be available to do it right after. I've got...
Oh, your proposal, you said right after.
I didn't mean like 15 minutes after we left. What works best? I'll do... What works the best for you guys?
It's difficult for me to make
meetings.
I would
for
prefer
me,
a night meeting too.
So do we have to have it here? Can we do it at the hospital or what?
I think Ron is advocating all your evening and your off meeting should be here.
Okay. Who's
Ron Wyvern?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So the Wednesday the 30th is the presentation. Yes.
Okay. So the first. Our first Wednesday meeting would have been on, it's what, the 6th? Can we do it on the 6th?
It would be the following week.
I know, isn't that soon enough?
Yeah, the 6th is fine with me.
So the 6th of August is the following Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, from a calendar standpoint, is that enough time for people to look?
Well, you know, we've already developed, and you shared with us some really good ideas.
I'm fine for the 6th, and I prefer to have it. If a Wednesday night works well for everybody,
yeah.
Does the 6th work?
Works for me.
Yeah.
The 6th? Yeah, 6:30 p.m.
6:30, the 6th at 6:30.
Right now,
it works for me.
Ladies?
Yeah.
Yes?
Okay.
Yes.
Don't forget if you have meetings during dinner hours.
So do we need to actually make a motion that we're going to hold a special meeting? I make a motion that we hold a special work session meeting
on
the evening of the 6th of August at approximately 6:30 p.m. to discuss the outcomes and findings and ideas from the presentation.
6:30 to 8:30?
Yeah.
I second the motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Good job.
Okay, one other piece of information I want to share with all of you. There will be the meeting on the 30th, which we'll be sharing this information with the annual report. Also, next Tuesday at 8 o'clock, the Board of County Commissioners will have a hearing on what is the modifications to clean water fee.
What is that?
At 9 o'clock, isn't it?
I see
10 o'clock.
Is it 10 o'clock?
That's when it works.
According to the notice.
Those dates again, Earl?
Is it a work session or a hearing?
It's
a hearing.
It's a hearing.
It's a hearing.
It's a public hearing. It's a hearing amendment to the public hearing.
What date?
The 30th.
The 8th at 10 a.m. According to the notice of public hearing.
The 8th at 10 a.m.
That should have all gone out to you by email as well.
Yeah,
I sent him two emails now.
Okay, all right.
Great. Until we figure it all out, he gets two emails from me.
Some of them
arrive and some of them don't to one account. But
just
they all
to be
arrive
clear, I sent Earl an email this last week and asked a question. I sort of had a concern.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do. And that was that it was being represented.